Okay, you're going to miss these young ladies. They're gone most of the time, so it's a blessing to have them back and have them sing for us and play their instruments. So if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And when you find your place there, I'll ask you to stand if you can. If you can't, that's fine. But if you're able to, please do so. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 this morning. All right, let's begin reading. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning again, thanking you so much for the words that you have given to us. We hold in our hand a sacred book, a holy book we call the Bible, realizing this is God's Word. And these words are important words, and you've given them to us that we might understand your plan. And Father, I pray this morning as we look at this chapter that you would guide and direct in our lives and help us to be reminded of these things. For these things are to come to pass. They have not yet happened, but one day soon they will. Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to turn to the book of book of Daniel, if you would. If you'll go over there with me to chapter 9. This here in Revelation chapter 6, it's when the seals are beginning to be opened. This is the beginning of what we call the tribulation period. And this is a time that those who do not know Christ and are alive on this earth are going to face. And as we look at this morning, it's just to remind us that there is going to be a time for those who do not know Christ. Maybe this will help you to understand the importance of knowing Him, and those that do know Christ, the importance of helping others to know Christ. And in Daniel chapter 9, this was prophesied many years ago, the tribulation period. And God gave Daniel the vision, and it's the vision of the 70 weeks. And those 70 weeks are what need to be fulfilled before Christ comes back to this earth. And at this particular point in time, of those 70 weeks, 69 have been fulfilled. We're waiting for one more week to take place. In Daniel chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 20, and we're just going to read this down to verse 27. Just share with you to begin with as we go back and look at Revelation chapter 6. Verse 20 says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 70 weeks. So what he's saying is, from the time that Jerusalem is rebuilt, okay, the beginning of that, till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, is 70 weeks. Okay? And that equates to 490 years. And so he goes on and says, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So here he's telling us there's 7 weeks, and then there's 62 weeks, or 62 more weeks. Okay? And he says these things are going to happen. It'll be troublous times. He says in verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So the Messiah being cut off is talking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's talking about 69 weeks, or if you will, 483 years, this is going to happen after they started rebuilding Jerusalem. Okay? In verse 27, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He's talking about the tribulation period. So the temple, but Jerusalem was rebuilt in Nehemiah's time. That's when that began, around 454 B.C. And if you do the math and start subtracting things and figure it out, that would leave us around A.D. 29 that Christ was crucified. And what nobody understood at that time when Daniel wrote this is there is a mystery. That mystery is the church that's in between the time of that 69 week and the 7th week. It's a parenthesis, if you will. It's not clearly spoken of here in the prophecy. And so we're in that particular time right now. We call that the church age. And Paul wrote about this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And that's the mystery that we're living in today, the period that we call the church age. And we're waiting for that 70th week to begin, or to be fulfilled. And that's what Revelation chapter 6 is speaking about. Please go back over to Revelation if you would. In Revelation chapter 6, we see these four horsemen. Actually, there are four seals open. The four horsemen are loosed. As I was looking at this, the title really could have been Come and See. For each time the seal is opened, that's what the beasts are saying, Come and See. Come and See. Come and See. Come and See. And this morning, that's something that we want to look at, is to come and see. See what's taking place here. See what's going to happen. You say, but Pastor, I'm saved and I don't have to worry about this. That is correct. And I can say amen to that fact. But there are a lot of people that aren't. And this ought to motivate us to help them to know Jesus Christ. Because this time is drawing near. It is getting closer each day. And it could be today. And it could be tomorrow. And it could be too late for some people. So this begins with the seven seals, and then the seven seals, when it's to the seventh seal, we'll see the seven trumpets. We're not going to be there today in Revelation 8. And then the seven trumpet contains the seven vials. And that begins in chapter 16. It's a terrible time to be on the earth. It's a terrible time. So he begins here in verse 1. He says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." And as you look at this, I want you to notice, number one, who opens that seal? The Bible says it's the Lamb that opens that seal. And we know the Lamb is none other than Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that is opening the seal. And recall John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29. He said, the next day when he saw Jesus come, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's Jesus Christ. So Jesus is opening these seals. And as these seals are being opened, there's a loud noise of thunder. That'll get your attention, won't it? You ever been sitting in your house and you hear that thunder, knowing there's lightning? That even adds more to it if it strikes close to you, but it kind of just shakes you a little bit. And you feel sometimes the house or the building shaking. I can't imagine what this noise of thunder is going to be like. But then I won't have to because I won't be here. But some will. And in verse 2 he said, "I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." You know, a lot of people look at this verse 2 and wonder, who is on this white horse? Sometimes we think right away, well, it's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's coming back on a white horse. But there are some differences between the person who rides this horse and the one that rides the horse in chapter 19. And we're going to see just a little bit about that in just a few moments. But number one, it's a white horse. You know, white in the Bible often symbolizes holiness of God or righteousness of Jesus Christ. But it also symbolizes, back in the Roman times, it was a symbol of a conquering leader. Take your Bible, hold your place in 6, and just turn over to 19 for a second. And let's just read that and see if we can see some differences here. In Revelation chapter 19, we're going to be reading verse 11. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So here is somebody that's different, riding a white charger or white horse. And Revelation 19, this is the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ. And he's coming back at the second coming, at the end of what we're just now beginning in Revelation chapter 6. And we see there are some differences. The crowns are different, number one. In Revelation chapter 6, he has one crown. In Revelation chapter 19, he has many crowns. But the word crown itself is a different Greek word. The crown for Revelation chapter 6 is stephanos, and it means a prize or a symbol of honor. It's a conqueror's crown. And then the one in 19 is the diadem, and that speaks of deity. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. The weapons are different. In Revelation chapter 6, he's carrying a bow. In Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is coming with no physical weapon, but with the Word of God. Sharp sword out of His mouth. The purposes are different. The rider coming in Revelation chapter 6 is coming at the start of the tribulation, where the rider coming in Revelation 19 is to finish the tribulation, to make an end of that. And of course, we know the riders are different. In Revelation 19, it told us He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Word of God. He is Jesus Christ. And the rider in Revelation chapter 6 is none other, you probably already guessed it, but the Antichrist. And when you think about this, it's going to come. This is the beginning of the tribulation, the beginning of the times of desolation that Daniel talked about. It's also called Jacob's trouble. It's a 7-year period. It's the last week of the 70th week. Okay. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, we know that the Antichrist, or Satan himself, is an imitator. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He comes to deceive. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For many deceivers are entering into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." And he's going to come proclaiming peace. He's going to fool a lot of people. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, Daniel records and says, "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." That's when Christ takes care of him, finally. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Again, reminding us of the Antichrist. You know, Jesus, when we read Matthew chapter 24, it goes right along with this passage. As Jesus is telling prophecy there, he's speaking to the Jewish leaders and to the Jews for sure. He said in Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5, says, "And as he answered them, he said, 'Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.'" And he was warning them at that time that there would be many false Christ. They will deceive many. They will mislead and destroy many. So this first horseman, he's going to bring violence through warfare. And he's going to come to this earth to destroy. But then go back to Revelation chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 3 and 4. He says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." So the first one came conquering to conquer. The second one comes following the Antichrist is to take away peace on the earth. Today, when you look out and if you spend any time looking at the news, there's no peace on the earth. In fact, you hear every single day of wars and rumors of wars. Right now in America, we know that we are looking at the Chinese, we're looking at the North Koreans, we're looking at Iraq. And there are many other wars going on today as well. And you hear that everybody talks about they want peace, but there's more war. In fact, there's probably never been a time in history when there's been more war on the earth. You listen to the news and you hear the violence. Domestic violence, husband and wife fighting. Probably any police officer said that's probably the worst place you want to go, because you end up there, they're going to turn against you and do something to you. children against parents, Democrats against Republicans, racial slurs that incite more violence. All of this is taking place right now in our country. It's loud and clear. Ezekiel 38:21 says, "And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother." It's speaking of this time. It will be a complete breakdown of the structural and social order that what we know of today. There'll be lawlessness. There'll be neighbors murdering neighbors. It might be because they're looking for food or something like that. That's all part of this. In 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there, turn to chapter 4. Paul is reminding those at Thessalonica, because they were struggling with this a little bit, about what would take place with those who have already died and what's going on. And he shares with them a clear instructions here, what's going to happen, or a clear doctrine that we know and believe. He says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And he's talking about those who have died. They're already passed off the scene. Their bodies are in the grave, but their soul is with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Well, verse 14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And what he's talking about there is a bodily resurrection. If I pass on before the Lord comes back, my body's going to be put in the grave. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when I'm raised up out of that grave, that body's going to change from that corruption to that which is incorrupt, to a glorified body. And so, as you know that verse, or these verses, and you think about these, during this time when he comes and he takes peace off the earth, the church is going to be gone. They're not going to be here. They're not going to experience this. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, right. There'll probably be no radio stations proclaiming the gospel either. There's no Christians on the earth. Nobody to share the gospel. We'll see you later on, or not tonight or today, but there are some folks who are going to help in that matter later on. But there's no Christians to show other Christians. There's nobody to say, hey, you want to do a Bible study? You want to look at the Scriptures? Can I share with you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I tell you what He did for me? Won't happen. There'll be nobody there to do that initially. The Holy Spirit will have been removed as well, because the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. In 2 Thessalonians 2:6-8, it says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he," this is speaking of the Antichrist, "might be revealed in his time." The Antichrist, that he might be revealed in his time. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he," this is the Holy Spirit who now letteth, "will let, until he be taken out of the way," Holy Spirit, "and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming," the Antichrist, the devil. So here, during this time, when this second horseman comes on this red horse, there's going to be violence that will be unrestrained. The civilization that we know it will be broken down. The Bible says he has a great sword, and I looked up that word, and it means a knife or a dirk. It speaks of a weapon of warfare. And Matthew 24:6, as Jesus was speaking, he said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So here we see in this book of Revelation chapter 6 at the beginning of this, the Antichrist is on the scene. He comes, and with him come three other horsemen. There are four of them. And this is the time of the tribulation. This is the time that a person that does not know Christ as their Savior, who is alive at that time, they're going to experience these things that are taking place. That's a scary thought. It's frightening, to say the least. But look at Revelation chapter 6 again. I want you to turn your attention to verse 5 and 6. So here we have first the white horseman, he's coming to conquer. The second horseman, he's taking away peace from the earth. And the third one in verse 5, it says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" So here we come is the third horseman. He's riding a black horse. Often that color black represents death. In Matthew 24:7, Jesus said, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Today we see the pestilences, we see the earthquakes, we see the things taking place in the world. They're happening all the time. What does everybody talk about in global warming? All these great big storms coming in, all this destruction. That's what Jesus is talking about. These things are going to come to pass. And we see this in the Scripture. This particular rider, he's carrying a balance or a scale, and often this device is used for commercial transactions. And they would weigh their grains on a scale to determine the worth. This rider is selling a measure of wheat for a penny. You think, well, a penny's not much money. But a penny in Jesus' day was a day's work. So for a penny, you could get a small portion of wheat and maybe make a small loaf of bread. You think that could feed a family of 10 or 8 or 7 or 2? Be slim pickings, wouldn't it? He said you could get three barley for a penny. Of course, barley is what the animals eat. And so you see things are happening that is going to be an economic collapse. Your money will be worth nothing. And people are going to run around and they're going to try to find food and not find food. It's going to be a time of distress. We even see it today, do we not? I heard on the news the other day that the housing industry, that they're building houses, that's slowing down. And what they said was because the houses they're building, nobody can afford. Why is that? Because of inflation and the wages are stagnant. We're not making more money now, but everything costs more. And it's very difficult to live on that. Well, it's going to be a lot worse when the Antichrist comes back. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, it tells us in that day that the only way that someone will be able to get food or buy food is take the mark of the beast. It says, "And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." It's going to happen. It's a terrible time. Turn over to James for just a second. James chapter 5. James is writing, he's talking to the rich folks here, but this is goes along with what we're talking about. James chapter 5, verse 1. He says, Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. The rich won't be rich anymore. It's a terrible time. And someone asked, well, what's the oil and wine that's not supposed to be hurt? And I'm not sure, but someone has suggested that it's talking about Israel, symbolizing Israel for the first 3.5 years. Because they're actually going to have peace with the Antichrist for 3.5 years until the last 3.5, and then the Antichrist will turn against them and try to destroy them. So as these wars come, we're going to see inflation, we're going to see famine, we're going to see death. The red horse brings a fast death. The black horse will bring a slow, painful death. But then, Revelation chapter 6, let's look at the next two verses. Verse 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. So this fourth rider comes on a pale horse. That pale is the greenish color. Some have suggested it's the color of someone who has leprosy. Don't know that. Ezekiel 14:21 says, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Israel, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. This has been prophesied for a long time. There will come a time when men will seek death and not be able to find it. They'll want to die and not be able to die. Revelation 9:4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. It's talking about those that during that tribulation period, we know 144,000 plus Israelites are going to get saved. We know that. And there'll be others saved, and they will not take the mark of the beast. But yet, they'll be tortured. There'll be suffering for those people. It will be a difficult time. And they'll want to die and not be able to. Here, this rider, this fourth rider on the pale horse, his companion is hell. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, we know that hell was designed for the devil and his angels, but here it says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. I think as people reject Christ, and they continue to reject Christ, that hell is going to continue to grow. You see the importance that people need to know, that Jesus died for them. It tells us in this verse 8, it says, and power was given unto them. Who are them? The white horseman, the red horseman, the black horseman, and also the pale horseman. Over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. It's talking about a fourth of the people on the earth. You know, right now we have over 7 billion people on this earth. I think 7 point something. I don't know the exact number. And that's a lot of people. But a fourth of those, if that's how many is on the earth at that time, will be killed. That would be about 1.8 billion people instantly dead in that particular time. And it gets worse as you study the book of Revelation. And how he's going to do this? He's going to do this by the sword. He's going to do this by starving people to death. He's going to do this by just killing people by famine. He's going, or that's starving to death, and he's going to kill them with the beast of the earth. And who's leading this whole thing? It's the devil and his trinity. So really, when you think about this, and this is something that we need to be reminded of. I need to be reminded of this because this is true. This is important. This is for us to understand the urgency that we as Christians need to think about. Because the only way you can be prepared for this time is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's to be born again. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." In other words, we have no idea when this is going to happen. It's a terrible day. It's called the tribulation. It will be the day of the four horsemen. It will be a day that will be too late for many. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6:2, he said, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." That word succored means helped. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you're not saved, today is the day to put your faith and trust in Christ. If God is drawing you, you're hearing the Word of God, and you're not sure, you need to make that decision. It is an urgent decision. Paul writes, let's turn to Revelation chapter 14 and we'll close with this. Paul writes in Romans chapter 14, because Paul didn't write Revelation. Actually, it's chapter 13. But I want you to look at verse 11. Romans chapter 13. If you heard Revelation, I told you a fib. Romans chapter 13. Verse 11. He says, "And that knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." When you got saved, whatever time that was, today we are closer to the Lord than we were then. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy." Verse 14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Jesus is coming back. And as we are learning to be ready, we need to also realize there are other people that need to be ready. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As often as you can, and as much as you can, we need to saturate the people we meet with Jesus Christ. Why? That's the only way they'll escape this, if the Lord comes back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray you continue to help each one of us as we look to you and realize that the time is near. And Father, we do have the opportunities. And Father, I pray you'd help us to be bold and take the stands that we should, realizing that there may not be another day, that we just make known that you love us, that Jesus died for us, and God has a plan for everyone to spend eternity with Him. I pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.